with us today, and do you have any, in terms of any arrangements at all as to when the funeral's going to be?
Right now, we're meeting with the funeral director today at 2, and we'll know when it's planned to be, the Tuesday or the Thursday. I'm waiting from family from New York to let me know.
As soon as we
and
get
it's South Hill, Virginia.
I'm sorry?
It will be in South Hill, Virginia.
In South Hill, right. And as soon as we get that information, we'll pass it on to everyone for that. For those of you who did not know Sister Todd, she's a really, really wonderful.
Amen.
Amen. Please keep all of her names in your prayers. Well, we're glad to have you all with us.
Thank you.
Amen.
We are studying the topic of the Christian atheist. And for those of you who have not been here with us before, that term, as we've talked about in this, may sound kind of strange. How can you be a Christian and an atheist? And really what this is all about is looking at the idea of people who believe in God, but yet they're not living their lives as if they really do believe in God. And for some people, that's a matter of it, that they say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, but yet their lifestyle in and of itself is just completely anti-God or sinful. They're not even trying. But then there's another aspect of this. And those people who yes, they believe in God, and they're trying to live their life the way that God wants, and but yet there's issues. There's some kind of a struggle that they're having that is preventing them from really living in the relationship that God wants them to be in with Him. And so we've been looking at various topics, and this morning we're going to be talking about a group of folks, and I suspect that there are a lot of us who struggle with this particular problem in our relationship with God. It's people who believe in God, but yet worry all the time. And so let's talk about this problem of worry. Because I think it really is a big problem for a lot of Christians. And it's such a problem that it really does get in the way of our relationship with God. Because it causes us, I think, sometimes to focus more on ourselves and what we can or can't do than what God can do with us and for us. So let's talk about worry. Let me start out by asking you, what kind of things do you worry about? Just think about that. All kinds of things that, you know, and you know the old saying that people say, you know, 90% of the things that we worry about never happen anyway. But think about the things that we worry about. You know, I don't want to ride on an airplane because it might crash. Well, yeah, airplanes crash, but statistically, you're more at risk in a car than you are in airplanes. So most of you are going to walk home today, right? But we worry about, you know, don't let the dog eat chocolate. You know what happens if the dog eats chocolate? Oh, you know, we get all frantic about those kind of things. We worry about our kids, don't we? You know, and what's going to happen to them? Are they safe? So, you know, we worry about them in school. We worry about them at home. We worry about them all the time. What's going to happen with our kids? We, you know, and so forth. So there's a lot of things that we worry about. Now, when we're talking about worry this morning, we're not talking about the normal kinds of concerns that we as human beings and as people and as Christians and families and relationships have and should have for one another. You say, there's a lot of things that we normally, you know, we look at and this, you know, something happened here, and so, you know, we get a phone call, somebody's in the hospital, you know, somebody had an accident, we're concerned about that person, so we go and we take action. So when the Bible talks about worry, that's not the kind of thing that it's really talking about. You say, so first of all, we need to get a working definition and an understanding of what worry really is in the Bible, okay? There's a Greek word called merimna, okay? That's the word that we find in the New Testament for that is oftentimes translated as worry. And here's what it means, to draw in a different direction or to distract. Okay, so we begin by looking at this idea that when someone is worrying about something, that they're getting so distracted or drawn in a completely different direction than what they should be. Okay, it's also the same word that is used in the Bible for anxious or anxiety. Okay, now, Somebody once said that worry is kind of like a rocking chair, all right? It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And that's kind of, really, you think about it. People spend a lot of time worrying, and they're actually doing something, but they're not accomplishing really anything at all, okay? So we really do need to get a handle on worry. There's another word, the English word that we use for worry comes from the old High German, Wurgen. Okay, and that word literally means to strangle or to constrict or to choke. In other words, you think about the idea of someone worrying, it's like you're being choked or strangled by whatever the issue is. So again, you see the difference between worry, as the Bible talks about, and just being concerned about something that's happening, what have you. Being concerned is a normal, everyday kind of thing that we should have when certain things are going on. But worry is when our life is being constricted, you say, or we're changing direction from where we should be. Okay? So, what kinds of things do we worry about and why do we worry about it? Maybe you say, well, I don't really worry that much. You call it something else. So, maybe instead of really recognizing and acknowledging that you worry about things, you say things like, I've got a lot on my mind right now. You say, that's a convenient way to say that I'm not really worrying. Or perhaps maybe it's I've got some issues that I'm working through. Okay? But you're not worrying, right? Or perhaps maybe you just got some stuff that you're dealing with right now. You know, whatever, however you label it. If we're not careful, we find ourselves kind of substituting these things for truly acknowledging and admitting that we're worrying about things. You say, it doesn't really matter what you call it. Worry is work. Okay? So we really need to recognize what it is that we're doing. It is merimna if. Okay, here's two things to think about. It's merimna if, first of all, it's distracting you from other things. Okay? If it's causing you to be distracted from what you should be doing, what you should be focusing on in your life, then it's merimna. It's worry. It's anxiety, okay? And so think about, again, all kinds of things that we can put in that category, things that distract us from what we should be focusing on or should be doing in our lives, okay? Now, it's also merimna if it keeps you awake at night, okay? Now, I don't know what keeps you awake at night. But if it's keeping you awake because you're worrying about something, it's kind of like this guy. I don't know if you can read it or not. He says, God, please help that paperclip run strong enough. What do we worry about? What keeps you up at night that you leave sleep over because you're stressed out and worried and anxious about something that's going on? That's the kind of thing that we're talking about. You believe in God, but you can't sleep at night because got this that I'm concerned about or that I'm concerned about in my life, and my focus is all over here rather than up there. That's merimna. It's a stronghold that we need to tear down and break down. You see, the issue that we're going to be focusing on this morning is how do we overcome this? How do we get rid of the worry in our life? So that it's not distracting us and not controlling, what we're doing, even to the point where we can't even sleep at night because we're so worried about this issue or this thing or that thing. So that we can truly have the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us, where we truly learn to trust in Him. So let's talk about three things here this morning that we need to understand about worry. And the first one is that worry, we have to acknowledge, is a sin issue. Until we come to terms with that and acknowledge it for what it really is, we're not really going to be that concerned about it. Worry, that's just normal. Everybody worries about something. Well, yeah, everybody may do it, but everybody's not supposed to, right. You say. We're not supposed to. Just because everybody's doing it. My mom and dad used to say all the time, if everybody jumps off a cliff, you're going to follow them? You say, and so we say, well, everybody worries, Just because everybody does it doesn't mean we should. And certainly as God's people, we shouldn't be. You say, it's a sin problem. and we've got to acknowledge it, is that Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul tells us, do not be anxious about what? Anything. Anything. How inclusive is anything? We, you know, all these different things that go on in our lives, and we tend to worry about it, but when he says do not be anxious about anything, understand anything is all inclusive. There is nothing that's left out of anything, is there? You say? Right. It means anything. So there's nothing that you can say, well, yeah, but just this one thing over here. No. You say? If he meant it that way, he would have said, do not be anxious about anything except. You see, and we'd find an exception clause in there, but I've read that text a lot of times, and I've never found an exception clause in there. Anything means anything. It's all inclusive. Okay? Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. The Apostle Paul there says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. You see, there he's talking about the whole idea of sacrifices, whether we're eating meat, sacrifice to idols, and all those kind of things. But the same principle is there, you see. If whatever we're doing is not coming out of faith, he says it's sinful. And we can make all kinds of excuses that we want to, but it's still sin. Okay? And the reason that worry, I think, falls into this category is because it's a matter of distrusting in the promises and the faithfulness of God. That's where the sin comes from. That what we tend to do is we look at the situation, we say, well, you know, I can handle this. Or we say, I can't handle this. And we worry about it instead of really learning to trust in God's promises. You say, and when we don't do that, then we're involved in sin. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. John chapter 14 and verse 1 says this, do not let your hearts be what? Troubled. What is that? Worry, right? He says, don't do it. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. And he follows it up and says, trust also in me. You see? Don't let your heart be troubled. About what? Thank you. Let's hear it one more time. Anything, yes. Don't let your heart be troubled. Period. You see? Trust in God. And trust also in Jesus. He told them that as he's getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to leave them, knowing that that was going to be kind of disturbing to their day. Okay, not to mention what his day was going to be like. Okay? And he told them that at that point. I'm getting ready to leave. But I'm going away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare this place, I will return to take you to be where I am. So, don't let your heart be troubled about this. It's all going to be okay. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Worry is, secondly, it's a control issue. Now that's a big problem for us, isn't it? You say, we like to be in control of things, don't we? See? And when we're not in control, then what do we typically do? We worry. You see how the two are just, they're tied together, all right? If I can't control something, then I'm going to worry about it. That's generally how oftentimes we function. And here's really part of the issue here. We either trust or we don't trust. You see, more in our own abilities than in His, that is God's faithfulness. In other words, we look at a situation, we say, well, yeah, okay, I can handle this. Or we look at it and say, I can't handle this. We worry. You see, we trust in ourselves more than we trust in Him. And this is kind of the philosophy, I think, of a lot of people, a lot of folks, you know, that aren't even, you know, we're not focusing on God in our relationship. It's like, look, who's the only person that you can really count on? It's you. That's the philosophy of the world. Trust in yourself. Don't trust anybody else. See, in fact, Joseph Stalin is quoted as saying, I don't trust anybody, even myself. You see? But isn't that kind of how we, you know, we look at life, and we don't trust anybody. And that anybody, I think, more often than we actually acknowledge, includes God. And that's where the real problems come in. You see? Because if we can't control it, then our answer is to worry about it. Because we've got to have control. So worry is a huge control problem, and trust is a matter of that. You trust yourself, you see, and you look at it, and where do you fit in that circle of trust? See? And it causes all kinds of relational issues between us and God. We're obsessed, I think, with trying to control all of our circumstances. Okay? I mean, I tell you, I freely admit this, okay? And some of you who have ever ridden in your car with you driving, you see my fingerprints in your dashboard, right? Okay? My wife knows, you know, when we go somewhere together, she doesn't even try to get in the driver's seat. All right? Because that's not going to happen. Okay? The state trooper comes out in Maine, and I'm not in control if I'm not behind the wheel. And so if I'm riding with somebody else, you know, I'm constantly putting on, you know, that brake that's on the passenger side. Yeah. You can do that too, you know. You see, because we're not in control. And here's another way to know that this is a big problem for us. How many arguments do you have at home over who gets control of the remote control? You see? So, and you notice we call it a remote control because we want to have control at a distance, don't we? You know, I can remember, you know, a time when you know, you had to actually go up and turn the knob on the TV. Yeah, some of you people are going, what? You mean remote controls weren't created by God in the 6 days? No, they weren't, okay? You know, but the remote control is a symbol in our homes and in our families and our relationships of how important control really is. Because whoever gets to hold the control, the remote control, gets what? They get to decide whatever they want. You see, they're not just in control now; they are. Help me out here. In charge. You see? They are in charge. Okay? You notice who has the remote here. Right? See, I don't let the guys back here in the booth do this. I have control. You see? Because we like to have control in our lives, don't we? And we don't feel very comfortable when life is out of control, when we can't control what's going on. And again, when that's happening, you see, then we sometimes have faith and trust issues in our relationship with God. You see? In other words, allowing Him to actually be the one who's in control. We're not willing to let Him handle things. You see? Because if we turn it all over to Him, then that means we don't have, help me out, control. You see? And we also have a problem with Him accomplishing those things that we feel like we need accomplished in our lives in His way and in His time. You see? And that's the difficulty of allowing Him to have control. And all the time God is saying to us with the stuff that's going on, no matter what it is, He's saying, look, you're worrying too much. I got this, God says. Just let go of it and let me handle it. But because it's a control issue, we tend to want to hold on to it. Used to be, I hadn't seen one in a long, long time. But it used to be all over the place. You see people who feeling really, you know, righteous when their relationship with God. They have the bumper stickers. You see, maybe you had one on your car. God is my co-pilot. Well, doesn't that sound really spiritual? You know, I got God over here, and He's kind of directing me. He's the navigator, the co-pilot. He's making sure I'm going to... Wrong place. Wrong place. Get Him out of the co-pilot seat and let Him drive, you see? Yeah, God doesn't want to be the co-pilot in your life so that you take Him where you want Him to be. He wants to be the pilot.
Man.
You see. Right. But that means you got to let go of the control. You see. And let him handle it. So that, by the way, that means that he takes you where he wants you to go. You say, rather than where you want to go. And sometimes that's a big part of the issue for us, isn't it? You say, so that control is a really big thing. Jesus asked this question that we're talking about in Matthew chapter 6, the whole issue of worrying. And why do we worry about things? We worry about the clothes we need to wear and the food we need to eat. He says, look, don't worry about those things. God take care of the birds of the air and the grass of the fields. They're clothed better than Solomon in all of his glory. And he says, God knows that you need all these things. And by the way, when it comes to control, which one of you has enough control that you can worry about things so much that you can add a single hour to your life? Who's got that much control? And the answer is none of us. None of us has that kind of control. That worrying will add an hour, even a minute, to our life. So we've got to recognize the significance of the control issue when it comes to work. The wise man, Proverbs 28 and verse 26 says, he who trusts in himself is a fool. Okay?
Man.
So you look at yourself real honestly, and if you can look at it and say, yeah, I'm trusting in myself, then go ahead and take a stamp and stamp it this way. I'm a fool. Okay? Because that's what I'm doing. I'm a fool because I'm trusting more in myself than I am in God.
Man.
Okay? Here's a reality. I was thinking about this the other day. I was actually driving home from the building here on the way home, back roads and everything. And I got to thinking about this. And the whole idea was how instantly our lives can change and how little control we really do have. That something can happen in an instant, and our whole life can be changed. And it could be, a car accident. They happen every day, and people get injured or they die in car accidents, and people's lives are changed tremendously in a matter of a moment. You see? It could be an illness or a sickness, a disease or something that someone all of a sudden discovers that they have. And their whole life has changed and altered. They have no control over that. Okay. Arthur came through and visited this past weekend and messed up a lot of people's holiday plans, especially down there in the Outer Banks area and everything, right? Anybody could control that. Came through there and did what he wanted to do. See? Nobody could change it. Nobody could alter it. All they could do at best, the weathermen could tell us where Arthur was going. Say, nobody can control that. And we cannot prevent whatever happens in the midst of that storm. And then oftentimes when the storms do come, then the aftermath of that is kind of like this headline says, the diseases and the destruction and all of the kinds of things that happen as a result of those kinds of things. And who amongst us can control any of that? You see? But yet, how often do we worry about those kinds of things happening? See? The psalmist tells us to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Mm-hmm. And do not lean on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. See, it really is a matter of learning to trust in Him. And when we fail to trust in Him, then we go back to what we said earlier, it becomes a sin issue. So it's a sin issue and it's a control issue. We really do need to acknowledge Him in everything in our lives and allow Him to straighten out those crooked paths. And the ones that aren't going to be straightened, by the way, we just need to allow Him to guide us along those crooked paths till we get to where He wants us to go. And finally, worry is a mind issue. Okay? And these are some things that we need to be aware of so that we can really overcome worry in our lives. Okay? If we want to be able to really conquer this stronghold in our lives, we need to understand that worry is an issue of the mind. Okay? And there's two parts of this that I want you to think about, and then we'll finish up with this. First of all, worry, we need to overcome it by two things. First of all, do what is wise. Wisdom is involved in overcoming worry, in other words. Okay? We've got to look for God's wisdom in whatever the circumstance or situation is that we are dealing with. The wise man in Proverbs 9 and verse 12. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. Okay? So we need to be like the wise old owl. Okay? We need to be seeking wisdom. Not worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom. Okay? And in everything that's going on, especially what we would normally worry about, we need to be looking for God's wisdom. Whatever your situation is, use wisdom. Whatever it requires, do that. That is, whatever it is that you can do, you say, but you need to do it out of wisdom. Let me give you an example. A guy is looking for a job, for instance, okay? And so, first look for a job, you say to that person, well, so you're looking for a job, have you put together a resume yet? No, I haven't put together a resume yet, I haven't done that. Oh, okay, well, certainly you have gone and put in applications at various places to get a job, right? No, I haven't put in any applications either. Oh, okay, well, then you must be networking with people. You know a lot of people, and you're probably networking, trying to make contacts, and trying to find a job that way, right? No, I haven't really been networking either. Well, what exactly are you doing to try to find a job? Well, I'm just waiting for God to give me the job that He has for me. You see, that's a lack of wisdom. It's a lack of doing whatever you are capable of doing and then allowing God to bless you with what He wants you to have. You see? In other words, when we say turn it over to God, we need to understand that's not just saying, well, this is what I need, so I'm just going to sit here and wait until God gives it to me. That's not wise. It's not using what God has given you to accomplish what He wants you to do. You see? So we need to use that wisdom in doing what we can do about whatever the situation is. And from there, we give the rest of it to God. You see? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, in the text that we read as we began this morning, again, we started earlier, he said, do not be anxious about anything. But the rest of that, the next part of that is what? But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So again, how inclusive is this? Anything and everything. What's left out of that? Nothing. Thank you. You see? And so we need to be taking everything to Him. You say, well, what about the small stuff? I can handle that. Take it to Him. That's part of the everything, isn't it? Even the little things.
Right.
And at the very least, what that's doing is, it's involving you in conversation with God, which, as we talked about in an earlier study, is what He wants with you, right? He wants you to be involved with Him in conversation on a regular basis. So don't wait till just the big stuff comes along and say, I can't handle this. Let me call God. As people oftentimes say, you ever hear, on the news, and sometimes disaster strikes or whatever, and then news people are interviewing folks and saying, and somebody inevitably says, well, all we can do now is pray. That's not all you can do, first of all. That's the best thing you can do. You see? But it's not a last resort, as oftentimes people think of it as. It should be the first thing we resort to. Everything, he says, take it to Him. You say, bring it to Him. Ask, in other words, for His wisdom and His guidance to show you what you should do. James tells us, chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, what does he say? Let him ask. Ask God for it, you say. And He gives it to us generously because He wants to bless us. So if you're facing a situation and you're lacking wisdom in how to handle it, what do you need to do? Ask God for wisdom, you see. Because that wisdom is a first step in helping us to be able to face whatever the issue is without worrying about it. Okay? the second part of Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 here. And what's the result of doing that? When you take those things to God, everything to Him in prayer and petition, what does He do? He gives you a peace which transcends all understanding. In other words, it doesn't make sense that in this situation I should have peace, I should be, you know, restful and calm and not falling apart. That's the peace that passes all understanding. You see? And that's His promise. Take it to Him and He will give you that peace. And that peace, He says, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That is worry-free. See? That's what He wants. And that's what He promises us. So we need to be going to Him, asking for His wisdom, and using His wisdom as we face whatever it is that we're facing. The second step is thinking. Okay? Thinking is a part, for most of us, a part of our mind issues, okay? And so we need to look at this aspect of it. What are we thinking about? Put on your thinking cap, in other words. Okay? And look at whatever the situation is. What's going on here? Our thinking really has everything to do with worry in our lives. Okay? Has everything to do with that. What do we need to be thinking about? Go to verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. Paul here gives us a list of the kinds of things we should be thinking about. So whatever the issue is, whatever the struggle, the problem, or the obstacle in our lives, he says, here's how we should be thinking. Think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. Those are the kinds of things we should be thinking about. You want to overcome worry? Change the way you think. We talked about that last week, Romans 12 and verse 2. Don't conform to the patterns of this world any longer, but do what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your behavior, that is the worry, by changing the way you think. And here's the kinds of things we need to be thinking about. You see? Instead of thinking about all of the things that can go wrong and how terrible this is going to be if it doesn't work out this way and by this particular time, we think about what the truth is about this situation, or what is right, or what is admirable, or praiseworthy. Think about all of those things. And you allow God's wisdom to take that worry away from you. You see, we like to play the what-if game, don't we? You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if? We run ourselves right. Because we're thinking about all of the bad possibilities instead of just turning it over to God and allowing Him to give us what we need to deal with it. If we think, on the other hand, of right things, then that peace that passes all understanding is what He promises for us. We have this kind. I couldn't resist that. doesn't that just make you feel just peaceful as can be? Don't you wish at nighttime when you're staying up and you can't go to sleep, you could be just like that? You can be. You can be if you'll turn the worry, the issues over to Him. So, because that's what He wants us to have. Craig Rochelle, who's the author of the book for this study that we're doing, has this to say, and I really like this quote. Think about it. He says, God had allowed me to see His faithfulness through enough yesterdays to realize that He would be faithful in today and that I didn't have to worry about tomorrow. You go back and you look at what has God done in the past. There's been enough times that God has brought me through whatever I've been worried about. You see, but I don't have to worry about what today's going to bring, and I certainly don't have to worry about tomorrow. That is a trust in God's promises and His faithfulness. See? And that's what He wants us to have. Our actions will reflect, okay, who we believe in more, either ourselves or God. Alright? Jesus says to us, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble in its own. Okay? Who do you believe in? What we need to do is pray more and worry less. That's what it's all about. You look at your life, you look at the things that are going on in your life, and how are you dealing with those things? How are you handling them? You see, are you worrying about them? Sitting in the rocking chair, not really getting anywhere, not accomplishing anything? Or are you seeking God's wisdom, and God's help, and His power to help you overcome whatever it is that you're facing? Those are promises from God. And we are His people. So if there's something going on in your life right now, maybe something that's had you worry, then I'm encouraging you this morning to let's give it to God. And quit worrying about it and let's give it to God. If you need some help to do that this morning, then that's what we want to do. Let's do it together. So, and if there's someone here this morning who's not yet a Christian, if you haven't given your life to God, well, you know, you need to be concerned about your future. Because until you give your life to God, you're lost in your sins. And if you die in that condition, then you'll be eternally lost. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God's promises are for you also. That if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, you can do that right now this morning. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone who would like to come up to the front here. Dale will be in the back if you'd like to have a private conversation or prayer with him back there. We want to help you to get rid of worry and overcome this stronghold in your life if that's something that you're dealing with. But we can't do it unless you let us help. So that's what we're here for this morning. Let's stand together and sing.